kind of remiss, we probably should add to the prayer list Wayne, because he's going this week to Athens, Tennessee to get an MRI done on his leg. He did something to his leg, and then Rita was telling me he's trying to give shots to one of the goats, and the goats decided to go across the pasture with him, and it didn't help the leg out at all. So he's having some problems with his leg.
And I forgot to mention that during the prayer time. Ask you to turn with me in your Bible to our scripture text this morning as we continue our study into Paul's letter, to the first letter to the Corinthians.
Our scripture text this morning comes from 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We ask the Lord's blessing upon reading His holy word. Paul is an interesting person. If you read his letters and you study his letters, you find a person who doesn't really care about being noticed. He doesn't want for people to say, "Ah, this is Paul. He's a great apostle of Christ," and this and that and the other. He really doesn't want that type of acclaim. In a way, I think his personality can be found in the Casting Crowns song. Jesus is the only name. Jesus is the only name to be remembered. That for Paul was it. He did not want that. And yet, on the other side of that, he would claim his authority as an apostle, and people would attack, "Hey, you don't really know what you're talking about." He would say, "Look, Jesus met me on the road to Damascus. Jesus brought me in. I know Jesus. I saw Jesus. I may not have walked with Jesus for 3 years like Peter did, but Jesus called me. Jesus met me. Jesus converted me. Jesus changed my name. Jesus taught me." And so while he really didn't care, it's like the opening of 1 Corinthians, he didn't care that the people there liked Apollos, because Apollos came in and preached in a way that they did, "Wow, this guy is smart." He and Apollos got along really well. If Peter had come in there, he probably wouldn't have cared about that either. But the same token, he would claim his authority. He could be hard-headed and stubborn, and in other times he could be very, very pliable. He could speak with wisdom. As a matter of fact, before in Luke's writing, the Acts of the Apostles, before he goes to Corinth, he goes to Athens. And it says that he goes to the marketplace in Athens, and he begins to discuss with the people there, especially the philosophers. And at that time, there were basically two schools of philosophy in Greek philosophy. One of them was the Epicureans, and one was the Stoics. And Epicureans believed that everything that's going to happen to you happened here on this earth. And once you died, your spirit was dead, you were dead, your personality was dead, there was nothing left of you. So what you need to do is make the best of things that you could here on this earth, because after you died, there's nothing else there. And the Stoics, their philosophy was, is that we need to get in tune with the universe. And as long as we get in tune with the universe and we blend ourselves with the world around us, that we will go on as long as the world goes on. And that was their philosophy. And Paul finds himself in the marketplace in Athens. And he's seeing, walking around, he's seeing all these temples to all these guys. See, a lot of times we hear the word marketplace, and what we think of as a marketplace is a place where you go kind of like a mall, you know? You have all these different shops there. And there would be in a marketplace in this ancient world, there would be some shops in there. But where Paul was in an area where the people gathered to talk. They gathered around to talk. They gathered around to discuss with one another. The closest thing that I could come to it and get it in my own mind is when we were in Jordan and we went to Jorash, which is a city about, what, about 40 kilometers east of Amman?
Northeast.
Yeah. Yeah, about 40 kilometers. It's one of the capital cities. And it was interesting because the Dagon city had what you would think of as two major gates. You had this one gate, which really wasn't the gate to the city, but you had to enter in there. It was big and impressive. And then they had the hippodrome. And so on the hippodrome, you had the hippodrome here, and then all along the hippodrome, you have some places where there'd be some merchants where they'd sell souvenirs and stuff to the people who came to the hippodrome to watch the chariot races and things like that in the hippodrome. And then over on this side was a cemetery that the people who weren't Roman citizens were buried in, because if you weren't a Roman citizen, you couldn't be buried in the city itself. And so there was the cemetery here, and it was a pretty long walk. And then by the time you get past the hippodrome, there's another one considered the main gate of the city on that side of the city. And then about what? Like about half a mile down the causeway would be the other gate coming in. You'd have another gate. But if you went through the gate, there was what they called the marketplace. And it was a huge circle, probably about 60 yards across, totally surrounded with columns, except over in this section where there were a few merchants. But it was a place where the city gathered. It was a place where the intellectuals would come. It's a place where they would talk to one another there in the city. And that was the same way with Paul. When he was in the marketplace, there wasn't necessarily people there who were vendors who were selling stuff. But what there was there was that all these temples, all the different gods were there. And Paul's walking around, he's hearing these people talk. He's hearing the words that they're saying. He grew up in Tarsus. He grew up in a Hellenistic city. He knew what Hellenistic thought was all about. He knew who the Stoics were. He knew who the Epicureans were. And Paul just happens on this one place. They actually had a temple there to the unknown God. So Paul goes to the temple of the unknown God, and he starts proclaiming the gospel to these Epicureans. He starts proclaiming the gospel to the Stoics in their own language, telling them about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He spoke with wisdom. He spoke in their language. And yet, Paul says that when I came to you, I didn't come to you speaking in wisdom. I didn't come to you speaking in a special language of intelligence. But I came to you in fear and in trembling. Now, he didn't mean that he came to them, feared them, trembling before them. But what he meant there was that he came to them in total fear totally trembling before God. He came to them in awe of God, in awe of God's glory, in awe of God's power, in awe of God's presence, in awe of everything that God was. He came to them not trusting in his own words, not trusting in his own mind, not trusting in his own power, but instead trusting in God. Speaking to them the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified. I can remember when I was in seminary and when I got out of seminary especially. You know, you read all these books and you stand and sit under all these professors who are really, a lot of them were very good names at the time in theological circles. And you go and you prepare your sermons and you prepare them and you really, you wanted people to, you know, to think that you were smart. You wanted people to think that, hey, this guy really knows what he's talking about. You wanted people to think, you know, that all that money spent in Emory just didn't totally go to waste. You know what I mean? You wanted people to look at you in that way. I think a lot of times it gets lost because when Paul talks about sharing the gospel, I think we need to look at what he's saying here. How we should approach the sharing of the gospel. It's not that we come at it from our human intellect and our human mind and our human thoughts and our human understanding. But that we come at it. The fact that God is, it's your word, it's your will. You did this. You so loved the world that you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we trust in you. I think a lot of times when we call upon or we find ourselves in a situation where we think that we ought to share the gospel, a lot of times we're afraid to do that because we don't think that we have the right words. We don't think that we can say the right things or we have enough knowledge to be able to answer the questions that people might have. I can remember when I was pastoring in Hiram First United Methodist Church. And we had our own evangelistic explosion team going out there. And I never got to go out with this particular person. Beth got to go out with them. And we'd go out and visit people in new subdivisions and stuff like that. His name was Theron Thompson. And Theron and Sue, both of them had a pretty rough life. Both of them were recovering alcoholics. But they weren't ashamed of it from the standpoint they wanted to hide it. They viewed it as Jesus was giving us victory over this part in our life, and we were glad to give him all the praise and all the glory. He had had a good job with Georgia Power, and because of his drinking, he had lost that job. He was at this time working for a company called Austell Hospital. But Beck and other people on that team that would go out couldn't help but share about when they would get in somebody's home and they were sharing the gospel, how Theron would talk about Jesus and talk about the love of Jesus and do it in a very simplistic way that the people who were hearing him, they didn't even have questions because they saw the realism of it in his life. He didn't have the formula. He didn't have the answers. He just shared Jesus. And that's what Paul was doing here. He came in and he just shared Jesus and him crucified and what that means, the power of everything. That means vision that he did was so that he wouldn't be the one doing the work, but so that the Holy Spirit would be the one doing the work. This is the first time in Corinthians the Holy Spirit is mentioned. It says, so that you would hear it with the Spirit and in power. Not the power of man's speech, not the power of man's wisdom, not the power of a huge vocabulary, but instead the power of God. It can only come through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. We think about that. The Spirit and power, Spirit and power. And what does it remind you of? When they came to John, right? It's at Jordan River. And they asked, Are you the Messiah? And he says, no. I'm he who goes before and makes the path. There's one who comes after me, whose sandals I am not even worthy to unlace. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. Paul's total desire was that when they heard the gospel, they did not hear it from man's mind, but from God's mind. And that's how he approached them all. Not just the Corinthians, not just the people in Laodicea, the people in Thessalonica, or people in Ephesus, or people in Tyre, but the power of the Holy Spirit. We're coming up on Pentecost. It's not Pentecost Sunday yet. We've still got a couple of Sundays. But that was the day when the church received its power. Peter and the other disciples didn't receive their power. Yeah, they went to the temple and they talked in the temple and they shared about Jesus in the temple, but they didn't go to the temple and receive their power from the temple. They didn't go to the great libraries of places like Alexandria and other places like that and read the books and come back. They came back, and on that day, God baptized them with the Holy Spirit. He had the power of the church. I'm not just talking about sharing the gospel. Sometimes we're afraid to enter into people's lives. People who are suffering or going through a hard time, whatever it may be. And it's not because we don't care. It's because we don't know what to say or how to say it. Paul gives the answer. You approach it with fear. You approach it with trembling. You approach it with understanding that it don't depend on us. That there's one. One who can give us the power to share his word with the world that needs to hear it, whatever it is.